Tuesday, November 27th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports. We bring you a dose of common sense. Hopefully, we can maybe make you smile here or there at some of the sports world, because a lot of it is actually pretty funny. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. And, you know, we'd like to take today and just take a moment to think about longtime NBA broadcaster Chick Hearn, who was born on this day, November 27th, back in 1916, out in Aurora, Illinois. Now, Hearn, of course, called over 3,000 Los Angeles Lakers games. And, you know, he actually came up with a few basketball terms, basketball phrases that we still use today. You might not even realize this. Hearn was remembered for his rapid-fire broadcasting style, but do you know that he coined phrases like slam dunk, like air ball, and the phrase no harm, no foul? Now, maybe you already knew that. Maybe you grew up listening to Chick Hearn. You were a Chick Hearn fan, so you already knew that. Or maybe you're not as familiar with some of his work. For instance, do you know how the great Chick Hearn got his nickname? Because that wasn't his real name. It wasn't like his parents named him Chick. His real name was Francis Dale Hearn. I have never heard Chick Hearn referred to as Francis in my entire life. Well, you're going to at least learn one thing today on the Daily Dose, because he actually earned the nickname Chick when he was an amateur athletic union player back at Bradley University, and his teammates played a prank on him. Now, get ready for this prank. Not quite the prank you would hear today. They gave him his team shoes in a shoebox, and then they waited to see his surprised reaction when he opened the shoebox, and instead of finding his sneakers inside, he found a dead chicken. I'm not even joking. And oh man, isn't that a killer joke? Who doesn't love a good dead chicken gag? Like, that just always slays the room anytime you bring a dead chicken into it. You know, I know that today we have kids that just talk about how they're targeted, talk about how they're being bullied, how they get triggered by certain words and certain phrases because someone sent them a meanie face emoji on Snapchat or something. But when was the last time you heard a kid lately get a dead chicken as a part of a prank? And not only did that kid not, you know, call the police, prosecute to the fullest extent of the law, they actually took the nickname Chick to use professionally in their everyday life for the rest of their life. Again, I've never heard his real name. The only name I ever heard Chick Hearn called was Chick. That was it. Now you know why he was called that. You know, Chick Hearn passed away back in 2002 after he suffered a pretty serious fall. He was 85 years old, and he was one of the greats. He had one of the great memorable voices in sports announcing history, as you can hear in this clip from NBC.
The ball to Nixon and the Lakers, down by one. 1:38 to play. The ball to Kareem. Swing left. A 12-footer on the way. No. Rebound worthy. Yes!
Hey, like I said, November 27th was the day that Chick Hearn was born. We think back to a phenomenal sports announcer and just the way they could kind of teleport you into the game. You felt like you were there, even if you were just listening to it. If you'd like to contact us, maybe let us know your favorite Chick Hearn call. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got a question, you've got a comment, feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you. And if you are looking to finish up some of that holiday shopping and you want to go pick up some Daily Dose gear, we do have Daily Dose gear over at teepublic.com, teepublic.com. Search Daily Dose. Go find that Daily Dose gear for that hard to shop for person on your list. We've got hoodies, we've got t-shirts, we've got coffee mugs, laptop cases, stickers, ton of things over at teepublic.com. And I believe that teepublic is still doing that Cyber Monday deal for a little while longer. So go over there and place your order real quick and get exactly what you need for the holidays. Now, today on the show, you know, Mondays are just so busy as we recap all of the things that took place over the weekend in sports that during football season, we like to take a little closer look at what took place in the world of the NFL and what took place in the world of college football. A number of interesting things taking place this last weekend. we are going to touch on some winners and losers in football because there was a lot going on over there. But before we get to that, we do have a little bit of news coming out. First and foremost, Inside Carolina reported yesterday that the University of North Carolina has reached a deal with Mack Brown, who actually coached the Tar Heels from 1988 to 1997, and that Mack Brown, at the age of 67, is going to be returning to Chapel Hill to coach the football team. Now, Brown went 244 and 122 and 1 in 30 seasons as a head coach in college football. He is part of the 2018 College Football Hall of Fame class. He won that 2005 national championship down at Texas. But he's been serving as an ESPN college football analyst for the past 5 years. Brown was 69, 46, and 1 at North Carolina when he was there previously. And he led the Tar Heels to winning seasons in each of his last 8 years, including top 5 finishes in the polls in 1996 and 1997. We know how rare it is sometimes for a school like a North Carolina to get into those top polls. But it sounds like Brown will be replacing Larry Fedora, who got fired on Sunday. And I guess, looking at this, this is just where North Carolina football is now. They're going back into the history books to try to find a guy that used to be good and bring him back. I mean, if Mack Brown struggles right now, are they going to go get like Bill Dooley? Why in the world do universities do this? We are hearing the exact same thing in Colorado right now. Who will the University of Colorado hire to be their next head football coach? And what's the first thing people say? Well, you've got to go get a Buffs guy. No, you don't. You need to go get a good guy. Keep in mind, there haven't been that many good guys at the University of Colorado. That's not exactly a program that's just been winning and winning and winning. Like, they won in this one little small section. People say, you've got to go get someone from that specific era because that's the only time they've really won. They've rarely been good. It's the same thing here with North Carolina. You have a mess going on with the Tar Heels right now. That football program is a disaster. Larry Fedora had a really, really hard time getting recruits. We have heard constant rumors about a North Carolina academic scandal going on back there, and the North Carolina football program has suffered. Now you're going to ask a nearly 70-year-old man who has been out of the game for the last at least 5 years to come back and revive that. Do you know how much work that is going to take? I mean, I wish him well. I like Mack Brown a lot, but I'm not sure about this. I really do think sometimes universities just take the easy way out. They say, well, what's a big name in our program's history? Okay, just go get him and just bring him back. I don't want to really deal with this. I don't feel like wasting any more time with this. Well, what if you went out and you found the next young, good coach? Wouldn't you be better served to do that? Not really sure what North Carolina is doing here, but it's the same thing we're seeing here at Colorado. It's the same thing we see at a number of universities. I honestly think the administration just doesn't want to be bothered. Also, in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars have fired offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. This took place yesterday after, of course, the Jaguars lost their 7th straight game on Sunday. Hackett was in his 3rd season as the Jaguars offensive coordinator. He was also head coach Doug Marrone's offensive coordinator when he was with the Buffalo Bills back in 2013 and 2014. But this change comes after the Jaguars lost 24-21 at Buffalo in a game in which quarterback Blake Bortles passed for just 127 yards. The week before, Bortles posted a season low with 104 yards passing in a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, in which the Jaguars also managed to blow a 16-point lead. You know, Jacksonville actually started 3-1. They beat the New England Patriots. Remember that? How long ago does that seem now? But now, Jacksonville has fallen to 3-8. They are in last place in the AFC South after just being in the AFC Championship game a year ago. They ranked 21st in the NFL in total offense. They are 28th overall in points per game. They average just 17.9 points per game. I understand the Jaguars have to make a move just for political reasons. Hey, we got to look like we're trying to do something here. But honestly, if I give Bill Walsh Blake Bortles, I think he might struggle too. But can you imagine this? Can you imagine If yesterday, instead of firing a coach, if the Jaguars just came out and they were like, hey, you know, we really like Blake. We think Blake Bortles is going to be a good quarterback at some point, but we've reached a point where we feel like we need to go in a different direction. And by different direction, we mean we feel like we need to go in a good direction, a winning direction, a positive direction. And so we would like to announce we're going to just cut Blake Bortles today. That is effective immediately. I seriously, if they came out and did that, I would have to become a Jacksonville Jaguars fan right away. There is no way I could turn my back on a team that actually took care of a problem instead of pretending other people were at fault. We all know it's Blake Bortles. Everybody knows it's Blake Bortles. No one's going to say it, though. They're going to fire some offensive coordinator and act like getting him out of there is going to fix everything. We know it's not. Okay, coming back, Mondays, like I said, are always so busy. On Tuesdays, we look a little closer at the world of football. When we come back, we are going to be talking about some of the biggest winners and the biggest losers from a very interesting weekend in the NFL and college football. And hey, this week in college football, we are all winners. Okay, so let's jump in and take a look at a few of the winners and losers from the world of college football this last weekend. And what a crazy weekend it was. We saw three of the top eight teams in college football go down this week. So who were the winners and losers this past week? As we are just getting closer and closer to finding out who is going to be in that final four college football playoff. First winner I am going to give, and I am going to give it to one of the most interesting stories that I have seen in recent memory in the world of sports. And honestly, I'm genuinely fascinated just watching it. All season, we have heard the sports media world blasting Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer for his role in the Zach Smith situation. I mean, except for ESPN, who employed Urban for a while, and they tried to ignore the story altogether. But for the most part, we have just heard people everywhere blasting Urban for his role in the Zach Smith situation and the fact that the Buckeyes have looked largely terrible for a good part of the season. We have heard how Urban Meyer protected his wife-beating, White House masturbating, strip club-attending assistant coach, and that Urban's Ohio State Buckeyes were looking well short of expectations. They were way overranked. Urban was probably going to retire at the season's end. And then, on Saturday, those underdog Buckeyes rout the number four Michigan Wolverines, and the script has completely changed. So I am going to give a winner to Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer because now the narrative is totally different. Hey, Urban looked fine on Saturday. We didn't see him passing out at all. And in fact, he's had to endure so much unfair criticism this year. You know what? The Buckeyes should probably go to the college football playoff. I mean, the way they looked on Saturday, we would probably be crazy not to maybe even favor them against Alabama. If the two were to meet tomorrow, I don't know. I think actually Ohio State, the way they played on Saturday, I'm just saying, the way they played on Saturday, they'd probably beat Alabama. Oh my goodness, slow down. Can the sports media world just calm down for 1 second? We just saw the Ohio State Buckeyes struggle to beat Maryland. They gave up over 500 yards in the process. We just saw them get handled by a 6-6 Purdue team a few weeks ago. Now, what I want to know was on Saturday, was this really great Ohio State? Or was this just another example of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh having his team wound way too tight for a big game and peeing down their leg when the pressure was on? I have a suspicion that it was probably a little bit of both. I have a full season of seeing Ohio State look very overrated. One game doesn't change that for me. And either way, the way that Urban Meyer handled the whole Zach Smith situation was horrendous. The win over Michigan doesn't change that, does it? We have not seen anyone in college football this year have their narrative flip so completely as we did Urban Meyer this past Saturday. And for that, there is no question, dude is a winner. I am going to give a loser, and I have to give it to the University of Central Florida. And I'm sorry, I feel bad doing it. UCF beat their conference rival, the University of South Florida, 38-10 on Friday. They stay undefeated at 11-0, but the news was not good for the UCF Knights because starting quarterback Mackenzie Milton went down with a gruesome leg injury. He took a helmet to the knee on a scramble. Milton's leg bent really awkwardly. He was carted off the field with his leg immobilized. He has since had surgery, which they say was successful. UCF players dedicated the rest of the game to their starting quarterback and emotional leader. And look, the selection committee was never going to put Central Florida into the top four. That wasn't going to happen. But now they absolutely have an excuse not to do it because Central Florida lost their starting quarterback. And for that, unfortunately, Central Florida is the loser.
Aww.
I'm sorry. I feel bad about it. And no, I'm not hating on Central Florida. I just haven't played anybody. Okay, I'm going to give a winner, and I have to give it to the Big 12 Conference. Look, I'm not sure if the Big 12 is going to get a team into the college football playoff or not. I have no idea. But the best case scenario for the Big 12 was a Texas versus Oklahoma rematch in the Big 12 title game. While Ohio State got pummeled by Purdue in their only loss of the year, Oklahoma's only loss was a 3-point loss to those Texas Longhorns. If Oklahoma gets some revenge on Texas in the conference title game, I think their case to be in the playoff is probably stronger than Ohio State's. I know Oklahoma's defense is awful. There were times during that Oklahoma-West Virginia game on Saturday that I seriously had to question if Oklahoma's safeties are on the take because they literally run away from where the play is happening. I can't figure it out. Something weird's going on with that defensive secondary because they are horrible. But that Oklahoma offense is amazing. And, you know, when Oklahoma lost that game to Texas, and then we saw West Virginia stumble twice, we're kind of wondering, can the Big 12 get left out of the playoff again? And they still could, don't get me wrong. But a Texas versus Oklahoma rematch gives the Big 12 a shot, and that makes the Big 12 a definite winner this last week. On the other side of that spectrum, we have to give a loser to the Pac-12. Because remember going into the year, when we thought the Pac-12 has a legitimate shot to go into the playoff, and they could do it with a few different options. Washington, of course, was the big dog. But you also had Stanford, you had Oregon, Arizona, Southern Cal, Utah. They were all contenders. But then very, very early, we started seeing Pac-12 teams dropping like flies right away. The Pac-12 was circling the drain by the start of October. And then we saw Mike Leach and that sneaky Washington State squad go creeping up the rankings. They beat Utah. They beat Oregon. They beat Stanford. If Washington State could somehow be 8-3 Washington in the Apple Cup, maybe, just maybe, if things kind of fell right and they got a little help, the Pac-12 could sneak back into playoff consideration. Yeah, and then Washington State did what they usually do against Washington. They get whooped by the Huskies 28-15. Do you realize that Washington has now beaten Washington State 6 times in a row, and the combined score of those games, 217-96. And with that loss, go the hopes of the Pac-12 getting anyone into a playoff, because the highest ranked Pac-12 team now is Washington, and they're clear back at number 10. Hey, better luck next year, Pac-12. I am going to give a winner, and I am going to give it to all of us college football fans. You know, this rivalry week that we had this past week, it provided a ton of surprises, interesting games, and now we have an absolute sprint to the finish of this college football season. Now that all the smoke has cleared, here is what we have. Utah versus Washington on Friday for the Pac-12. Okay. Texas versus Oklahoma for the Big 12 championship. Alabama versus Georgia for the SEC championship. And hey, Georgia is playing their best football right now. We'll see if they can give Alabama any sort of a test. You have Clemson versus number 24 Pitt for the ACC championship. And say what you will, and I know some of these games may end up being lopsided, these are absolute playoff games to see who is going to get into the college football playoff. I know that whatever team, maybe it's Ohio State, maybe it's Oklahoma, maybe it's Georgia, whoever gets left out is going to have some serious complaining to do, but how good is this week going to be in college football? These championship games this weekend, it is the reason that part of me does still like just 4 teams. Otherwise, if you did have 8 teams this year, hey, Alabama could lose and it wouldn't matter one bit. Clemson could lose, wouldn't matter. They'd still be getting in. They're not going to drop down to 9. They'd still get in. It wouldn't matter. This is the great part about college football. We have an amazing college football weekend coming, and for that, college football fans are definitely winners this week. Finally, I am going to give our final college football loser, and I have to give it to LSU, because the LSU Tigers, like, why? Why can't they learn? Never, ever, ever, ever dump Gatorade on your head, coach, before the game is over. How does LSU, of all schools, not know this? On Saturday, the LSU Tigers lost 74-72 to Texas A&M in seven overtimes in one of the craziest games I've ever seen in my life. The Tigers doused head coach Ed Orgeron with Gatorade after they appeared to intercept Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond's pass with 29 seconds left in regulation. But officials went to the replay and they ruled that Mond's knee was down because of a bad snap before he ever threw the ball. As a result, A&M got one more play. They convert a 4th-and-18 play, and then they throw a 19-yard touchdown on the final play of regulation to tie the score at 31. These two teams, A&M and LSU, combined for 84 points during the overtimes before the Aggies finally win on a 2-point conversion. And of course, that loss cost LSU a 10th victory. It may end up knocking them out of a New Year's Six bowl game. But the lesson to be learned here: you don't dump the Gatorade early. I know that players are so excited, they're so full of emotion, but don't do it. I am an absolute believer in sports gods. I know, maybe I'm crazy, but I believe in the football gods. I believe in the basketball gods. I have seen too many weird things happen to not believe in them. When you dump the Gatorade on your head coach before that final gun, the football gods are going to come back and bite you. And they absolutely did it to LSU. Honestly, at this point, LSU should seriously ban all Gatorade and Gatorade-related products. Remember what happened back in 2002 with the Bluegrass Miracle? How in the world does LSU make the same mistake twice? I don't understand it. Doesn't make any sense. But hey, it was a wild weekend in college football, and another one is coming. Hey, coming back, we need to switch over to the NFL. We saw a number of winners and losers over there too, and one of the teams on our list has not been a winner in this way for a long time.
What happens when two...
I found this adoption agency.
...turns into five.
She comes with two younger siblings.
In an instant.
Three kids?
And one?
From the creators of Daddy's Home...
We might have a little bit of a knack for this.
Oh, no!
I beg to differ.
...comes Instant Family, the feel-good movie for everyone.
Everything's gonna be okay.
Thanks, Daddy.
Starring Mark Wahlberg...
Should we give them a kiss goodnight?
You guys are overthinking this.
...Rose Byrne and Octavia Spencer. Instant Family, in cinemas February 14, certificate 12A.
So let's continue with our winners and losers from the weekend in the NFL this time. And the first winner we are going to hand out is a team that is showing some improvement, because the Cleveland Browns, we're starting to see them get better. And no, they're not as good as everyone was saying they would be. But the Cleveland Browns franchise had lost 25 straight road games going into Sunday. Then on Sunday against Cincinnati, the Brownies beat the Bengals 35-20, and in the process, they win a road game for the first time since October 11th, 2015, when they beat the Baltimore Ravens in overtime on the arm of Josh McCown. Hey, the Browns are still in the mix for a playoff spot. I think it's very much an uphill battle because their schedule is not going to be easy. But when was the last time we could even say Cleveland was somewhat in the running? I mean, the fact that we're even mentioning them is pretty amazing. The Cleveland Browns finally win a road game for the first time in 25 games. That definitely makes them a winner. I am going to give a loser, and I have to give it to Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey. Remember in the offseason when Jalen Ramsey was chirping about how awful every other team's quarterback was? Of course, he conveniently left out his own quarterback. Well, this season, the quarterbacks he was talking about that he has faced, they're making sure to make him eat those words. Remember, he called out Jared Goff. Lucky he doesn't see him. He called out Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, Garoppolo's hurt. He called out Matt Ryan. He said Ben Roethlisberger was decent at times. And he said Buffalo Bills rookie quarterback Josh Allen was, and I quote, pure trash. Well, last week, of course, Big Ben and the Pittsburgh Steelers pull off that crazy comeback on Ramsey. And this past Sunday, pure trash somehow found a way to score 24 points on the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, and the Bills beat Jacksonville too. look, I know all these young defensive backs, they want to be Deion Sanders. They want to go out and talk some trash. They want to strut around. They want to do the dances. They want to get the big contracts. They want to get the commercials. But here is what separated primetime from these wannabes. Deion Sanders produced. You can't run your mouth all offseason and then do nothing. The Jacksonville Jaguars are now 3-8. The Jaguars' defense is allowing over 22 points per game. Not good when your own crappy offense is only scoring 17 points a game. And more important than any of this, cornerback Jalen Ramsey, who did all the talking, has just 3 interceptions all year. Hey, you can't talk the talk when you don't walk the walk, dude. Step up and make some plays or shut up. And this year, Jalen Ramsey's having to shut up. He's having to eat a lot of words. Shouldn't talk so much. I've got to give a winner to Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. And no, honestly, he hasn't been that impressive throwing the ball. But the Ravens rookie is now 2-0 as a starter as the Ravens beat the Oakland Raiders Sunday 34-17 after Jackson won his first start last week against Cincinnati. I realize the competition is not great. On Sunday, Lamar Jackson went 14 of 25. He had just 178 yards and a touchdown, but he did throw 2 interceptions, and one of them was mind-blowing. But he did also run 11 times for another 71 yards and a touchdown. Somehow, the Ravens are still in a playoff race. They're 6-5, and at least for the time being, Lamar Jackson is undefeated as a starter. The next few games are going to get a little bit tougher schedule-wise. Let's see if Lamar Jackson is still up to the task. Because on the other side of things, we have to give a loser, and we have to give it to former Baltimore Ravens starting quarterback Joe Flacco. What do you do with Joe Flacco now? Do you bring him back when he does get healthy? And by the way, I'm not even sure if Joe Flacco isn't healthy. I know they're telling us he's not healthy, but I have a feeling the Ravens are like, hey, Joe, you're hurt. Thanks. You know, when you look at some of the veteran quarterbacks around the league this year that are struggling a little bit, you have guys like Flacco. You have Eli Manning. You have someone like Ryan Tannehill or Blake Bortles. But of those guys, only Joe Flacco has a backup that people actually want to see. Now, do the Ravens dump Joe Flacco in the offseason and save all that contract money? They have to be thinking about it. They've got to be very, very tempted to do exactly that. Has Joe Flacco played his last game as a Baltimore Raven? I think it's very possible. And for that reason, I think he's a loser this week. I'm going to give a winner, and I'm going to give it to Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck. You know, another week, another huge performance by the Colts and by their quarterback. You know, I'm not going to call him Andrew. I think I'm just going to call him Andy Luck. Doesn't he look more like an Andy? Like, he's not Andrew. He's just Andy. On Sunday, Andy threw for 343 yards and another 3 touchdowns. The Colts beat Miami 27-24. You know, at some point, we may have to forget just the comeback player of the year and start seriously considering Andy Luck as like a legitimate MVP candidate. Now, I realize the Indianapolis Colts are getting over on a very soft schedule, but they're now 6-5, and the soft schedule continues. This team could end up being a playoff contender. Think of the Colts over the last season or two without Andy Luck. They weren't like a little below average. They weren't even bad. They were hot, flaming garbage without Luck on this team. They weren't even able to compete on a week-to-week basis. Andy Luck has been very impressive this year, and for that, we are going to make him a winner this week. Finally, we are going to give our final loser, and we have to give it to a team that I don't understand, because what in the world is going on lately with the Carolina Panthers? After starting the season 6-2, they have now lost 3 games in a row, and it gets worse because 2 of the games are games they probably should have won. 3 weeks ago, remember the Panthers lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers in that Thursday night game when they gave up 50-some points? Okay, whatever. Bad week. Regroup. Move on. Let's put that behind us. Then, last week, they lose to the Detroit Lions when they decided to go for 2 and trust the accuracy of Cam Newton. It's always kind of a dicey proposition. Then, on Sunday, they lose to a scrappy but honestly probably not as talented Seattle Seahawks squad. Now the Panthers are 6-5, and they need a win. Like head coach Ron Rivera needs some common sense. And here is some more bad news for the Panthers. They haven't even played the NFC South division leading New Orleans Saints yet. they still have to face the Saints not once. They still have to face them twice. They could easily be looking at two more losses there. You know, I seriously do wonder if that goofy two-point conversion attempt last week against Detroit is just going to wreck the Panthers' season. And I'm telling you right now, it might. The Panthers are in trouble. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. Plus, I think we just might have some Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings, and they just might be able to help us tell where things are going later this season. You never know what we might be ranking this week. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Don't forget to head over to tpublic.com and finish up some of that holiday shopping. They've got the hookup over there. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.
A dark day. Suddenly, everything goes pitch black. You're driving blind. What evil lurks in the gloom? What hides in the shadows around that corner, beyond that bend? Will you ever feel safe again? Course you will. Come to Halfords. We fit new headlight bulbs on the spot from just £8. And we're open late, 7 days a week. Find your local store now at halfords.com. Ready for winter's worst? Ready for anything. Halfords, for life's journeys.
Bulbs sold separately. Selected vehicles only. In most stores. Opening times vary.